Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Coffee with Susie. Today, I actually wanted to focus on pharmacy management, and we have so many questions out there on managing a pharmacy, how to manage the pharmacy. Now more than ever, I think, even post-pandemic, with all of the different questions and even the demand for work in the community pharmacy, there are a lot more questions out there, new managers out there, how to create schedules, what to do. And I thought, what a great episode that we could have two managers, or, you know, experienced managers in pharmacy to record. And today I have Nikki and Hebatala with us today. And please introduce yourself. We can start with Nikki and then we'll go to Heba.
Hi, yeah, I'm Nikki. So I currently am managing a hometown pharmacy. So it's a retail pharmacy. We're located in Wisconsin. And I also manage a remote pharmacy too. So it's kind of a neat opportunity. I have been there since December of 2021. So just, it's pretty new position. I was managing Walgreens before that, since 2013. And so, yeah, that's, I love it. I love hometown.
I didn't realize that there was remote pharmacy management. So we're going to talk a lot about that and how that works. Perfect. Okay. And Hippo, you can go ahead next.
So right now I'm actually a consultant pharmacy, pharmacist at a group of pharmacies to start new patient care initiatives. But I've been a manager for about 8 years. I was also the resource district consultant pharmacy for 33 pharmacies in the area, doing mainly with a focus on patient care. And based off of that, thankfully, we've been able to actually win the regional Paragon Award 2 years in a row for the work we've done with patient care.
Wow, amazing. So I have two great leaders in very different areas of pharmacy management. I wanted to start out with just a question. You know, what skills do you think someone needs to make a good pharmacy manager? Because to me, I know for me, I think I would struggle with it because the phones might be ringing and people are asking me this, and you'd have to manage all of these people. I would just probably feel overwhelmed. So I've never done it. And I'm looking to your leadership and expertise as to how to do something like that as well. I don't know whoever wants to start can answer that.
I think patience is a big one. And that's what that I struggle with, because I'm not a patient person necessarily. I've really learned that, I think, as a skill, as I've been a manager. When I first started, so I started managing Walgreens in 2013, and you kind of walk in on your first day, and I saw all these problems. And what do you start with? How do you organize that? So I think taking a step back and realizing that you can't solve all the problems in one day, or even a month, or maybe not even in a year. It's going to be a growing process, and there's going to be growing pains, and you have to learn your technicians, their strengths and their weaknesses, and learn how to help them grow. And I think you have to teach them the workflow, but also learn how to get them like elevated in their position. How can you get them moving to where you want them? And that takes patience and time. It's not going to be an overnight thing.
Definitely. So I think, so basically, you know, one thing is patience, right? And then the other one was really focusing on the technician. And I think even about some of my direct reports, and I think you invest a lot of time into them, especially when they first start, and you're teaching them a lot. And it's almost like, I don't want them to leave at that point, because now all of a sudden I've invested this first 90 days in you, right, to teach you everything. And I want to make sure that you understand everything. And then I've had employees leave at 90 days, and I'm like, oh no, now I have to start all over. And so I think growth and development is important, and being willing to take, I agree, in terms of technicians there. Right. Do you have other things to add?
Certainly helping, like Nikki was saying, helping the technicians also, like developing talent, especially in the soft skills part. Turning information into breakable small action items that that they feel empowered, and so they can take on bigger tasks. I've also felt during my whole tenure as a leader and as a mentor that when I empower them versus stepping in and taking over, it's a totally different ballgame. So when I taught them de-escalation techniques, when I taught them how to empathize and acknowledge versus agree, they just feel so empowered that even in my absence, they're able to handle this. Another thing that I really, really was very big on was positivity, because every opportunity could be, or every new initiative could be, oh my goodness, just one more task. But if we see through how that new initiative is going to help us, what it does for the patients, if they were our family, or what it does for us, it makes a huge difference. That kind of helps with the struggle that we have with amount of hours or people available to hire to support the team, or all these little things actually just add up. In the whole big picture.
No, definitely. I love that. And I love that you touched on soft skills, because I think soft skills are critical to most pharmacy or all pharmacy positions. And many times those were the classes when we were in pharmacy school, we're like, I'm not going to pay attention to that. I'm going to memorize the drug names, and I'm going to focus on my clinical courses, and I'm not going to pay attention in my communications course, where really ultimately as pharmacists, that's what we're doing. We're communicating and growing. And I think one of the biggest questions that I've received from a lot of pharmacists out there and in the group is really related to, you know, I'm currently working as a pharmacist and I was just offered a manager position. Is it worth it? Should I do it? And I'd love to hear from your experiences, you know, is it worth it? Is it something that is for everybody? How do you know that you should take that leap? What, you know, what made you take the leap, or how, you know, how would someone assess that they should take that leap?
I didn't know if I wanted to be a manager or not. But I think it's a good growing experience for yourself. Like, I think I've learned a lot about myself as a manager, and I think it's, I enjoy helping people and helping people learn and grow. And like Hava was saying, empowering people. I really love that. And I have found that in the manager role. So, I love having technicians come in, and pharmacy is such a stressful environment. And when they first start, there's a lot of anxiety, and it's fun to help calm a technician down and talk with them and work with them and learn about them, and then help them, you know, piece all the pieces of the pharmacy together and watch them grow as an individual and then become confident and have them take on new challenges. And you know, it's because you've helped support them, you know, along the way. And I just think that's awesome. And when you can see a technician that you've worked with, you know, come into their own, and you can see that positivity and on their face, and they're helping another patient, you know, using words that maybe you've taught them, or, you know, just helped calm them down in a way where they can take on a new situation. I just love that. I think that just gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling that I think makes it all worth it. So it is stressful. It's a lot, and it's a lot of outside the pharmacy work, which is challenging for me to try to find time to do that, because I'm a mom and I have my own hobbies and stuff. But I do think it's worth it. I love working with my technicians and my staff and building a team. I'm really big on team approach, and like also how, like Hava was saying, making everything positive. It is a stressful environment. And so you just got to teach the technicians to take a deep breath, teach myself to take a deep breath, relax. We're going to get through this. We're going to prioritize the best way that we can. And as long as we all learn to work together, it's going to be okay at the end of the day.
Right.
Do you have anything to add about to that?
If it's worth it or not, I think that's a very good question. And I think it's actually, it depends on what tasks you have at hand that you're juggling in life. And the reason I'm bringing life in is because a work-life balance is very important. And we tend to forget it when we're pursuing certain career things. So the first step would be, in life, is this the right time for me? Because there's going to be a huge learning curve. You're going to be responsible for not just your talent, your people, and knowing them inside out and leading them and training them and handling all this, but you're also going to be responsible for the regulatory aspect of the pharmacy, and which may mean that you're going to do some cleanup or some changes or some break old habits. And all of this does certainly take on a huge, bigger responsibility than only the clinical part. But if the timeline in your work and life balance is good, and you do have the right mentors to help you, you do have a sponsor, and I really do emphasize the difference between a mentor and a sponsor at work, it can be a very fulfilling position, amazing. And if you do end up not continuing in the official leadership role, you're still a mentor for many people that you've trained.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think that's important. I think before taking any job or, you know, obtaining any new position, really thinking about where you are in your life, right? Are you about to move or make a change or have a baby, or, you know, how are those, get married, you know, how are those things going to impact your career? Because they do, you're right. They do impact our careers. And I think, you know, where I thought I was going to be when I applied to pharmacy school 20 plus years ago and where I am today are definitely different places. You know, you don't actually foresee, I didn't even think I would be living where I was living, you know, so where I currently live. So I think you don't really foresee the future either. But, you know, if someone is willing to take the leap and they want to take the leap, I guess, you know, that's really up to them to determine if they should or shouldn't, I think, you know, but it sounds like there are a lot of skills that they probably need. Are there any courses? You know, who do you go to? You know, if you get this new management position and all of a sudden you have a bunch of new responsibilities, what do you do? And I like how you said, you mentioned, you know, a sponsor or a mentor, but what would you do, you know, as a new manager? What were your recommendations? Even when you became a new manager, what did you do specifically as well?
I talked to a lot of people in the organization. So that's really how I learned. There, I did read some books too. But really it was talking to people, and I think listening to some podcasts, but really just talking to the other pharmacy managers and pharmacists and what they liked out of their managers and what maybe wasn't so great. And so I just learned things to do, things not to do.
Right.
It's almost like your own personal experience too, right? Something that you might have liked with a manager or didn't like as well. So sometimes that helps, or, you know.
Yeah, I'm still learning.
I think it helped me a huge lot. The first kind of 6 months, I was very unsure of every step I took. But I then signed up for the company's leadership courses. And that was kind of like a wow moment. And then I read this really short, tiny book that was also recommended through the leadership that I had. And it was The 1 Minute Manager. It's an incredibly short read, very easy read, but it talks about the power of delegation and empowerment. But I'm simplifying it and I'm making it sound so much more grandiose. However, the way the book is written is any even layperson could read it. It's again called the 1 Minute Manager, and it's amazing. I've not shared that book with anyone unless it's actually transformed their leadership.
That's amazing. And how long is the book?
It's super, maybe this thick.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And the pages are half empty. And okay. what it says is, it just says little snippets. It's kind of like walking you through the day of a manager. And so it's just little half a page full of reading material, not even the full page. And it's kind of light bulb moments along the way. And it's amazing. It truly changed everything. And that was actually how my team became one of the most strong teams in the whole region, not just the district.
Amazing.
And we were number one because of that book. It was amazing. It just changed everything.
I can see a bunch of people ordering this book right now. So we'll figure out where to put a link to Amazon or something for this book. Because even me right now, I'm not a manager in pharmacy, but I manage, in my area of practice as well. And I'm like, you know what, maybe that could help. I'm sure I could learn something as well.
I think it also pertains to life. Like being a mom, being a sister, a friend, I do a lot of trips with friends, and it's amazing. That book is really amazing.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So for everybody listening, one reason why I really wanted to do this episode too was really, and one of you had brought up positivity. And I think it's so important to remain positive about our pharmacy profession, about, you know, we went to pharmacy school for a reason. And I know for me, it was really to help make a difference in patients' lives. And I know it sounds cliche, but that was actually really what I wanted to do. And I really wanted to help with pharmacy. And I think that we do so much as pharmacists, and many people out in the public don't realize what we're doing. And I think we have to remain positive. And I do think that we can remain positive, you know, in different areas. And I think one of the things that I would love to see is just kind of a best practice list out there. So if you have tips or some of the best practices for somebody listening, what would be your 3 recommendations, you know, for best practice in a pharmacy? Say you get thrown into this pharmacy management position, all of a sudden it was offered to you. And I actually have a close friend, I can use her example recently. She was given an opportunity to become a pharmacy manager. She went from floater to pharmacy manager within a couple months, basically. And she had no clue. She was never even a staff pharmacist. And so then all of a sudden she's managing people, having to manage relationships, dealing with crucial conversations and things like that, of that nature. So what would be some best practices that you would offer to her or to others who are new in the field, or maybe even seasoned pharmacy managers?
Well, I think number one is knowing what your responsibilities are. And sometimes that alone can be tricky when you're first starting out. If you can get a list from another manager or your supervisor or something, that can be helpful. Learning to delegate. I kind of have this problem where I just think I can do everything, and that's not true. Especially once COVID hit, and it's too much for one person, obviously. So you have to learn to coach and delegate responsibilities. And how are you going to make sure the tasks are getting done? Just because you ask a technician to do something, and even if they tell you that they understand how to do it, how are you going to make sure that it's actually getting done? Because I have found in past experiences where I've thought I've explained something and it seems like we're all on the same page, and then we're not. And something that I thought was getting done wasn't getting done. And how are you going to follow up and make sure, you know?
Right. Because then you have a bigger problem potentially on your hands, and to make sure, yeah, whether it's expiration dates or, you know, something small, I could see that, or to something much greater as well.
Yeah.
So those are great points. So know your responsibilities, learn how to delegate, and ensure something is done so that when you do delegate it, it's actually completed. And actually in my head, I'm almost envisioning like a checklist. If someone actually does it, they have to sign somewhere that, you know, that something was done.
Yep.
Right.
Do you have points to add, Hiba?
Yes, I actually love the delegation part. And I think that was momentous for me. I was also a person, and I think pharmacists in general, just try and get everything done. But that team spirit, working with others and empowering them to learn and do, was huge. And it was interesting because if we helped other pharmacies in the area, people loved the teams that we sent out because they were so well trained, knowing what to do, just because of that delegation part. So thank you, Nikki. Something that I did as a brand new starting pharmacy manager, and again, this was based off of the idea that Malcolm Gladwell talks about in a book of his called The Tipping Point, where if you give them the best, we'll probably be able to get the best out of them. So it was maybe a 2 or 3 year old pharmacy, but it already had a lot of broken phones, broken drawers, dusty shelves. And what I did was, in the midst of all that chaos, I kind of created some sort of order by just having everything working. So they don't have to take an extra 10 steps to another phone to answer the phone. Make everything feasible for them to be successful. Then once that's done, I can have the expectations of, okay, here we're doing the best we can. What are we also doing? What's our part? But having the drawer not open and then they have to reach to a bottom drawer to get the vials. I know it sounds like these are small, tiny things. And putting in the service order takes a longer time. Following up that these things are fixed takes a longer time. But once it was done, it did create this tipping point of, okay, we're in it together. It's not just here's your expectations, but we're not in the best working. I know this sounds really, really maybe nitty-picky for some people, but even to the point of making sure the bathrooms are clean, the employee bathrooms, because they need to have that sense of pride that we're taking care of you. And we need collectively as a team to make sure we're taking care of our patients. Another thing I also did, which really helped garner some positivity, was anytime we impacted a patient's life, we shared it. So we did some calls that we really didn't like. When I first started, I found the team truly did hate those adherence calls. But having one conversation with one patient about their alendronate and the patient thinking that it's only for 1 month and they'll never have to be on it again, whereas the doctor's plan was to have them on it for 2 years and then reevaluate, was interesting. It was profound. And we talked about it from the perspective of our families and our elderly and how they see things. So how these calls make a difference, whether it be pharmacists. So keeping our teams just focused on the why, not just let's get it done, it's a number, let's achieve it, which as pharmacists, being such high achievers, we always want to get those numbers, we always want to achieve this. But having that balance, and I think that's the wisdom that comes with time versus being a new manager. So take care of your team, not just in making sure that the things are fixed for them to make their lives easier. I found that the pharmacy I took on had the most unbelievable amount of calls and everybody's necks were hurting. So I asked the company for headsets, the wireless headsets, and initially it was denied. And so I went out, I got headsets, which was a huge cost. Each headset cost about $220. I got three. I installed them. And 3 months later, I showed the company the proof of how this helped customer service, how this helped team engagement. And at that point, the company not only paid me for those three headsets, but they made sure the whole district had headsets. And so It was a huge leap. It was a huge jump. I probably might not have gotten the money back, but knowing that the team kind of felt, okay, Heba is asking us to get those calls done. Heba is asking us to answer the phones right away and not keep the phone ringing and overwhelming everyone. But Heba's also supporting us to make sure we get the stuff done.
Yeah. I love that. You mentioned so many things that that really resonated with me right now. I think the first one is related to burnout. So recently I spoke about burnout, and one of the things to actually reduce burnout in the pharmacy is to have an organized pharmacy. So making sure the vials are there, everything is where it's supposed to be, because one thing that can impact stress is, for example, all of a sudden you're like, where's that stapler? I'm looking for the stapler and someone moved it, or where is my pen? And these are small, tiny things, but these are actually triggers for the pharmacist to actually have a good day or a bad day. So maintaining a clean pharmacy, an organized pharmacy, can actually reduce burnout and improve employee satisfaction and the whole team satisfaction. And bathrooms was something else that's typically come up, because a lot of women who are nursing and need to pump, they're looking for a clean bathroom. So whether it's your pharmacist or your pharmacy technician, many complaints that I've received, and I've received hundreds of them, that I can't go to our store bathrooms. They're too dirty. They're disgusting. I can't pump there. I don't know what to do. That's where I'm supposed to pump, but I just feel gross going into them. So cleaning the bathroom, I think, is important. I know that many people would appreciate having a clean environment there. I love your idea of, you know, with the positivity and talking about the wins, right? So whether it was impacting a patient's life, because every single day you are doing that as a pharmacist, and why not celebrate those wins and talk about them as a team? And I think that will help even with the technicians to understand how important of a role that they're playing in patients' lives as well. In making a change, right? So you were willing to go purchase those headsets, do something. So even if at first management didn't agree, you knew what was best for your team. And I think you're right. It's almost, I can relate it back to being with my kids' teachers at school. So sometimes the teacher will go and buy all these supplies because she doesn't have a budget. And then I'm like, you bought all this for the class. And then all the parents all of a sudden are like, we need to chip in. We need to help her pay for this, you know? So eventually, you know, from everyone just witnessing that positivity, I think it really does. It does make an impact. And I think these were great, great tips today. Anything else you guys would like to add? I feel like we covered so much. Is there anything I did not ask you that I should have asked you?
You said you had some questions earlier about the remote pharmacy.
Yeah, definitely. So tell us about remote pharmacy management, because I remember learning a little bit about it when I was in pharmacy school, about rural hospitals and managing a rural hospital pharmacy if you were based. I lived in Chicago at the time, but yes, I would love to learn more about that.
Okay, so I'm in a retail pharmacy, and then I also have, it's the same computer, but I have a link to go into the retail pharmacy site. It's a smaller pharmacy, so she maybe only fills like 10 or 20 prescriptions in a normal day, but we also do blister packing, and then it could be like 70 or 80 prescriptions that I have to check. And the technician is there by herself, so it's one technician. She takes pictures of the pills that she dispenses. And so that's what I see. And that's what I'm checking, is I can see the doctor orders and I see how she typed them. And then I see a picture of what she's dispensing. And then I call the patient if it's a new prescription and do the consult over the phone. And what else? I go there once a month in person to do physical inventory and help her with any tasks that need to be helped. She's an amazing technician. So she usually has everything, you know, the speed.
So are you managing two pharmacies then?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. Interesting. So then you visit that pharmacy once a month, and then in general, you're at your pharmacy, but you're able to, because of technology too, that helps a lot to be able to do that. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. We just went in and did a vaccine clinic. So we did the second COVID boosters. We did 140 vaccines in one day. It was amazing. It was an amazing experience.
So for someone listening who would be interested in this, any tips or recommendations on remote pharmacy management?
I think it's a lot. It's the same as being a regular manager, as far as just being aware of the responsibilities. So I am new to this pharmacy role, this company that I'm in. So when I first started, I found out that they weren't actually reporting to the PDMP. So that was a huge deal. They hadn't reported in a couple of years. And so, again, it's just checking up. So I followed through, it turns out they didn't have the password to get into PDMP to fix the errors and stuff. So there was over 400 errors, which honestly, once I got the information that I needed, it didn't take that long to fix. It was a pretty easy fix. We got it fixed in a couple of days. And since then, it hasn't been the problem. I got the password, shared the password, obviously, and now they do it, the technicians. So again, it's the same, just being aware of the responsibilities and following up.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, Nikki and Hiba, it's been great to have you on today's episode. We would love to have you back again for more, because I know that many people listening have learned so much from you. But before we go, I know we ask each of our guests on that show to share a photo with our audience, and I'll start with Nikki. Would you like to describe your photo?
Yeah. So I Heba was talking a lot about work-life balance, which is huge for me too. I recently left Walgreens, so to join Hometown Pharmacy, and I feel like I have a much better work-life balance now. And so I have time to run again. And so I just enjoy that so much. I get up at 4 a.m. and I run, 4 or 6 miles or whatever it is. And it's phenomenal. I just have so much more energy now. I feel just so much happier. And so I just want to share a running photo.
Oh, amazing. That's amazing. And for running. Yes. All that 4 to 6 miles a day. That's I can barely do 1 mile. So
wow. One of the things that I did when I became manager is I negotiated my contract to work 4 days, 8-hour shifts 1 week, and then 5 days, 8-hour shifts the other week. So I was technically less than the 40 hours a week, but that gave me time to travel a lot more. And even though my longer trips, I do go internationally, but I do travel within the States a lot. But the picture I shared was one of my trips right pre-COVID in Machu Picchu. And it was just so serene over there. So that's one of my hobbies that I do. Yes.
Beautiful. Love to travel. So if we need guidance, we come to you for anywhere we're going. Oh, thanks again. Thanks so much, ladies, for recording today.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.